Hello, welcome to Foreign Matters, titled There Is No Peace Process. Now, that's not to argue that there shouldn't be one, or that there hasn't been one in the past, and that there hopefully will be one in the future. But for some time now, there hasn't been a peace process. Process. Noun. A continuous action, operation, or series of changes taking place in a definite manner. Well, there is no Israeli-Palestinian peace process as defined above, nor has there been for, I think, about 16 years since the Israeli-Jordanian Agreement, 1994. Although there is a continuous action of meetings, bilaterals, proximity talks, protocols, roadmaps, proposals, summits, and initiatives, there is no series of changes towards peace taking place in a definite manner. Definitely not. But the actors involved have to keep trying, and they have to keep saying the words, peace process. That's the backdrop to this week's negotiations in Washington, D.C., brokered by the Americans, which will take place despite a total lack of evidence of any progress on the key final status issues, Jerusalem, refugees, water, borders, etc. President Obama wants to be seen to be the mediator. It plays well with his base support, and it plays well in the Muslim world. There's also this sort of idea, which is tantamount to religious belief in parts of the American political elite, that if you solve the Israeli-Palestinian peace process, then everything else in the Middle East will be just fine and dandy. I think that's wrong. Anyway, even if in the unlikely event he pulls off an agreement within a year, it would be an amazing triumph ahead of his re-election campaign. But he appears to be ignoring the dangers of failure, which are not just a possible renewal of violence, but also that his prestige would be damaged, especially in the Middle East. But hey, you have to hope. The Israelis come to Washington simply because it would be rude and quite expensive not to. The easier option is to allow Obama to force them to talk, despite openly having no enthusiasm for dialogue, and then to try and limit the damage when the blame game starts after the talks collapse. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu successfully bluffed Obama, and he has not agreed to extend the West Bank settlement freeze past September. Now, that was a Palestinian precondition for talking, but it's been given away under American pressure to come to the table. Mr. Netanyahu stood firm because he presides over a cabinet in which those who, unlike him, reject a Palestinian state are in a blocking position. If he gives too much, the coalition will collapse itself. It's the great weakness of Israeli politics. It means few difficult decisions are ever made. On the Palestinian side, President Abbas knows that he's deeply unpopular and that if he gives too much in the talks, he could be toppled and that Hamas could be further strengthened in the West Bank. And he too has expressed no enthusiasm for this meeting. The Arab leaders only pretend to care about the Palestinians. Their interests are far greater than any injustice to a people they've helped keep at poverty levels for decades, and there's real little impetus or optimism among the Arab governments that the time is right for a deal to be done within a year. I hope I'm wrong. I hope there's an agreement on a Palestinian state within a year. History may usually repeat itself, but it also throws up enormous surprises. Perhaps, just when the time appears so wrong, it could turn out that the time was right. But I don't believe it. And so the scene is set, and the actors are taking the stage. No one, not even the Americans, really think there's going to be a breakthrough. But the diplomats will make encouraging noises to the media, and the words peace and process will be uttered in the same sentence over and over again, despite the evidence suggesting there is no peace and there is no process. That's Foreign Matters. See you next time.